this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Hey, have you ever wondered how high-performing entrepreneurs and speakers like myself, Brendan Burchard, Kerry Wilkerson, and Lewis Howes always have such great energy? Do we have a secret? The answer is yes. It's good habits and good nutrition. And today I want to continue our deep dive into the most important pillar of high performance and energy levels. You see, two of the most common questions I get are this. Hey, Craig, do you drink coffee? Do you ever drink alcohol? Well, today you're going to be surprised by my answers. Hi, my name is Craig Ballantyne. I'm the host of Early to Rise Radio, and I've been researching high performance for over 25 years. And today we're going to talk about two of the world's favorite drugs. That's right, these are drugs, caffeine and alcohol. They're going to help you and they're going to harm you. And I'm going to show you today how they can do both. You're about to find out how. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. All right, let's get to it. Let's do a deep dive into the insider truth about water, caffeine, and alcohol. Now, here's the good news. The latter two, caffeine and alcohol, are not banned. I say not banned from a high performer's life. However, they must be respected, okay? Respected. Not banned, but respected. But before we get to them, we're going to talk about the most important drink of your day, which is water. Now, I first realized the power of water in high school. In sophomore year, I felt tired and bloated, and for the lack of a better term, really gross by the end of my day at high school. And then I started my coursework at the University of Arnold Schwarzenegger, meaning I started reading some muscle building magazines, and I discovered the importance of water. Remember, this is the early 1990s, so people weren't walking around with a water bottle permanently attached to their hips at that time. No, this was strange for somebody to be bringing a bottle of water to school. And in fact, I was doing that, and it was so funny because I was carrying around tap water in a brew-your-own plastic beer bottle because that's all that my family had out in the farm. And I don't know if I could even buy plastic bottled water back then. And the funny thing was, beyond that, even funnier, was that I would take the brew-your-own beer water bottle to the gym when I started bodybuilding in 1992. Now, today I drink about 3 liters of water, and I drink most of it early in the day. I've tried forcing myself to drink 4 liters of water, but it was really uncomfortable, and I didn't find any additional benefits. So that is what I do, and it helps me with fighting against fatigue, late afternoon hunger, loss of focus, constipation, all that stuff. And if you struggle with any of those things, try increasing your water intake early in the morning. I start my day with a couple cups of water, and you can do that too. I love drinking it cold, although some folks suggest drinking it with lemon or drinking warm water instead of cold water. I know that some people have very strong opinions about that, but listen, all I want to do is drink some water. Now, most of the advice that you find on the internet about drinking water is pretty wacky. For example, here's some useless gobbledygook. Water fires up your metabolism, helps your body flush out toxins, and gives your brain fuel. What? Water fires up your metabolism, flushes out toxins, like, I don't know, does it press the flush button? And it gives your brain fuel. Okay, technically, drinking water prevents dehydration. That's a sure thing. And if you regularly drink a lot of water in the morning, and then one day you don't, you might even get a headache. It depends on your individual response. But I'm not going to say that drinking water gives your brain fuel or flushes out toxins. That's pretty weird. Anyways, here's the plan. In addition to having a food journal where you should keep a record of what you eat every single day to figure out what makes you feel good and what helps you keep a regular body weight, you should also keep a water journal just for a couple days. Find out what amount of water makes you feel best, what method of drinking water works for you, whether drinking cold water in the morning makes you feel better than drinking warm water with lemon, whatever. And you should also think about when you should stop drinking water late in the day so that you don't wake up in the middle of the night and have to pee. That is one thing that really annoys me. Now, one other tip, if you drink a lot of water really fast, then you're going to end up peeing a lot quickly, because the rate at which it comes out of you is equal to the rate at which it goes in you. So spread that water out over the course of the day. It's better to drink your water slowly. This is similar to a tip you're going to hear in our next section about caffeine and not taking a huge amount of caffeine at once. So the bottom line with water is that it's the same as food. Test and track to find what works for you. All right, so now let's talk about the world's most popular drug. That's right, caffeine is the world's most widely consumed mood-altering drug. And yeah, it's a drug. And it just happens to be found in coffee, tea, and other drinks, like Wild Mountain Dew. Yes, that's right, Wild Mountain Dew. It's a natural drink. All right, now let's get serious here. If you want to cut your life short, just go ahead and get between a coffee lover and their morning fix. I mean, some people will kill for coffee. And I'm not here to tell you that you can't drink it, but you might find this hard to believe, but at age 42, I have still never had a cup of coffee. Crazy, huh? That's because coffee has too much caffeine for me. And I've learned that about 50 milligrams per day of caffeine is more than enough for me to stay alert all day long and enjoy the small performance boosting benefits of caffeine in a workout without causing anxiety. But if I hit like 200 milligrams in a day, I will feel anxious and I will also get annoyed and irritated in the afternoon. So I don't know exactly why, and we're not going to jump into that, but we can talk about what caffeine does in our bodies. Okay, so caffeine is a nervous system stimulant. It increases your arousal, your focus, and even your creativity. It can prolong muscle endurance, so that's why you might get a few reps more than usual in your weightlifting workouts. And it can even help you fight off headaches because caffeine constricts blood vessels in your brain and it can increase our tolerance to pain. So if you drink a lot of caffeine and then you don't drink caffeine, you go into withdrawal, it's because the blood vessels in your brain are dilated, meaning they're really pumping out a lot of blood and that gives you a throbbing headache. Now, if you have caffeine, then it constricts those blood vessels and you feel normal. So that's why you have headaches during withdrawal. Now, caffeine, it can also increase your blood pressure, anxiety, tremors, and irritability. I know that does for me. So, all right, so we need to apply the law of individuality to caffeine, just like we do with water and just like we do with alcohol, really, because we can build up a tolerance to caffeine over time, but your caffeine level is going to be right for you. Mine's right for me. My rules with caffeine are not the same as yours. So there's a lot to consider here when choosing the right amount of caffeine for your high performance outcome. It's tempting to go big in the morning when you've slept poorly, you feel tired, or if you have a caffeine addiction, or if you just like coffee, as a lot of people do, you might have too much too soon. But research from the US Army found that consuming smaller, more frequent doses of caffeine leads to a better long-term focus over the course of the day. So having an espresso is a whole lot better than having a venti Starbucks at 8 o'clock in the morning. Just like it's probably better to have multiple doses of small amounts of water than drinking 3 liters at once. So that is something to consider. Now, for most people, caffeine is probably a non-negotiable. I mean, most people don't even want to talk to people until they've had some caffeine. And if you have that attitude, I think you should reevaluate your relationship with caffeine, because if you can't talk to somebody without caffeine, I think that says more about you than it does about caffeine. That said, as with food and water, you'll probably get a lot of insight from testing and tracking your intake and your caffeine sources over a full 7 days. And sometimes you'll actually find that there are some hidden sources of caffeine in your life. Now, certain sodas have caffeine, but not all. And so you should check the label. Make sure that you know how much is in a Monster energy drink. Know that there's about 80 milligrams in a Red Bull. And just go through and figure out how much caffeine are you getting from coffee, tea, cola, Monster, all that stuff over the course of the day. Now, you might find that one coffee in the morning and a green tea in the early afternoon is a better combination than 2 cups of coffee in the morning and a 4 p.m. espresso. Just don't go overboard, all right? After all, caffeine remains in the bloodstream for a long, long time, and it can stop you from falling asleep quickly at night. If you find yourself tossing and turning and then needing caffeine in the morning, it's a vicious cycle and you need to break it. So how much caffeine is too much? Well, the Mayo Clinic suggests keeping your daily intake below 400 milligrams. So let's look at the caffeine amount in drinks. Zevia Cola, one of my go-to drinks, is about 35 milligrams. That's right. 35 milligrams. You get Zevia Cola. It's sweetened with stevia. You can find it at Whole Foods or even at some corner stores now, too. On the other hand, a 12-ounce can of Coca-Cola or Diet Coke is 50 milligrams. So 12 ounces is 50 milligrams. You can do the math for other serving sizes. 8 ounces of black tea is about 50 milligrams. I think green tea is around the same. 12 ounces of Folgers coffee in homebrew format is 80 milligrams, which is surprising to me, but it's not that strong. A Red Bull, again, 80 milligrams for a small can. Monster Energy, that's about twice as a Red Bull, that's 150 milligrams. Starbucks 2-ounce espresso is 150 milligrams. A 5-hour energy, that 2-ounce drink you get at the front of the convenience store, that's a whopping 200 milligrams. Wow, that's a lot in a little. A Dunkin' Donuts medium coffee, 200 milligrams. And then I found this candy, Crackheads Espresso Bean Candies. If you get 28 pieces, it's 200 milligrams. So I remember back in college, people would sit around eating chocolate-covered coffee beans, and they would stay up all night studying. Now, I never pulled one all-nighter in college, mostly because I didn't consume caffeine, so it was hard to do that. And plus, I didn't need to. A No-Doze, now that little pill, is 200 milligrams. I remember some of the supplements that we took back in the day, like in 2000, when you had ephedrine and caffeine in a pill, and you had 200 milligrams of caffeine. My goodness, that stuff wired you. Oh, my goodness. Now, a venti Starbucks can do the same. It has over 400 milligrams of caffeine, a venti Starbucks coffee. Ugh. And you know what? Another thing is that you can't forget the number of calories that are in some of these sources of caffeine. So if you had a can of Coca-Cola, you'd get 50 milligrams of caffeine, 14 tablespoons of sugar, and about 150 calories. That's pretty bad. Now, if you did a Red Bull that was not sugar-free, it's about the same. Monster Energy that's not sugar-free, it's going to be about 300 calories. And a Grande Frappuccino that has 95 milligrams of caffeine is going to have well over 200 calories. So now going back to your caffeine intake, where do you draw the line? That's up to you. But Men's Health Magazine reported on a study that found regular consumption of over 300 milligrams of caffeine per day, which is a Grande Starbucks and an espresso, or two-ounce espressos, is going to give you 300 milligrams of caffeine, and that leads to a 30% increase in anxiety and depression. That's a heavy dose, and you just don't need that for improved mental performance. So if you're worried about your caffeine intake, figure out a way to cut it 10% for a few days. Just pour out a little bit of the coffee, pour out a little bit of the Monster, cut back slightly. Don't go cold turkey, you're going to have that headache issue. But test and track, and work your way down 10% every few days. And that way you're going to find out what's optimal for your performance. All right, so now we've covered uppers, we've talked about caffeine. Let's talk about downers, which is alcohol and high performance. Now, some of you are not going to like this message, but alcohol is really a high performance killer. I mean, some people might say that drinking a glass of alcohol can extend your lifespan, but I don't think you should take up alcohol for that purpose, because there's a lot of other things that can extend your lifespan without getting into alcohol. Because on the other hand, what was once a glass of wine might now become a potentially lethal dose because you become addicted to alcohol over time, and it can kill you. It really can. Over time, even acutely, of course, if you just go crazy like a frat boy. But alcohol killed my father, and I don't want it to have a negative impact on your health. So my dad was a high performer. I mean, he really was high energy. The guy worked all day. He was creative. He was a little crazy, but he was absolutely destroyed by alcohol. He drank nearly a dozen beers every day for 30 years, and he lost his mental faculties. He, you know, ended up with colon cancer and then liver cancer, and he died from alcohol, and it nearly killed me too, because I was a binge drinker in my early 20s and even in my late 20s for many years too long, and I'm embarrassed by how long it went on. I mean, I just wish I could go back and shake some sense into my younger self and just live a virtuous life, because my life is so awesome right now, and I will have a drink once in a while. Fortunately, I did figure that out. You know, the anxiety attacks that I had in 2006 were a real kick in the butt, and I cut out alcohol. And today I limit myself to one drink maximum per day. And I have to go weeks without drinking. And then I might have one drink three nights in a row, like if I go to Vegas for some work stuff. Yeah, I mean, one drink in Vegas is not party time, that's for sure. But I will do that. Now, I'm not preaching. I'm not saying you're a bad person if you drink alcohol. If you want to drink, that's fine. But understand what it does to your high performance abilities. And make sure that if you drink and you have to go to work the next day and you want to have a great sleep, you can't drink right before you go to bed. Because yes, drinking might make you fall asleep faster. It might do that, but it doesn't allow you to fall into really deep sleep. And therefore, you might sleep a full 8 hours, but you're going to wake up and you're going to feel a little bit off. You're going to feel groggy. It's going to mentally impair you the next day. Just from one glass of alcohol consumed too close to bedtime. And I'll talk a little bit more when we talk about sleep, and that's going to be a future episode. So are there any positives for alcohol on optimal physical or mental performance? Frankly, I'm not aware of it. What does alcohol do? It slows you down. Does it make you more creative? Well, Hunter S. Thompson might argue for that. John Romanello, my friend, might argue for that. But you know what? I don't think Stephen King is less creative now that he's sober than when he was an alcoholic. So listen, you can still be creative at any age without alcohol. You don't need it to take away your inhibitions. Because at the same time, it's actually going to negatively affect your motor skills. Sure, it relaxes you, but it's not something that helps you be a high performer. And too much at night destroys your mornings, all right? So let's talk about hangovers. I know how debilitating a hangover can be and the cloudiness that comes from even just a few drinks the night before. And people always say, you know, what's the best cure for a hangover? And I say it's the same thing that is the best cure for muscle soreness. And the answer is a time machine. Because really, there's nothing but time that is going to cure your hangover and your muscle soreness, unless you can go back in time and not do so much damage in the first place, all right? So if you do happen to know Doc Brown and Marty McFly, you might be able to get away with having a hangover, but most people, probably not. So listen, how is your alcohol intake serving you? Not how is it hurting you, but how is it serving you? How is it making you a high performer? That's another way for you to look at things. You can ask yourself, am I performing at the highest level I need to be at? And if not, is alcohol part of my problem? If it is, why don't I cut it out? Ask yourself those questions. I don't want to be heavy. I don't want you to think that, oh, this Craig Valentine's boring, because you'd be right, because I am boring, but I want to think for you. I want you to have the right situation in place where you are doing the right things, consuming the right beverages for your high performance. Another thing is that alcohol also contains a lot of calories. So a single beer or a glass of wine or a shot of alcohol, it's about 100 to 150 calories. And three drinks will give you about the same amount of calories as you will consume in a giant Starbucks muffin or in a slice and a half of pizza. So listen, if you're counting your calories, you have to figure out how important is this alcohol. But the real problem is what alcohol does to your judgment around the pizza and around food temptations. You know, one beer after golf often leads to a second, maybe a third, and then that leads to a plate of nachos, which is probably 1,500 calories. And the next thing you know is you've had 2,000 calories before 5 p.m. and you still have to go home and have dinner. So that is where most people end up in trouble. And that's one of the biggest ways that alcohol can hold you back in life outside of the obvious mental performance. So a second sneaky way that alcohol decreases your performance is by preventing you from having the optimal recovery. So let's talk about sleep on this podcast. Alcohol impairs your sleep cycle. It stops you from getting into the most deep, restful sleep. Now, sure, alcohol might help you fall asleep, but it can also stop you from staying asleep. And research suggests that you stop all alcohol 3 hours before bedtime. Now, I know what you're saying. That means that you can have a glass of wine when you get home at work at 7 o'clock if you want to go to bed at 9:30 or 10. And you're right. You are absolutely right. But listen, this is not the early to party podcast. It's the early to rise radio show on high performance. So listen, you're a grown adult and that leaves you with an adult decision to make. You can cut out the alcohol, sleep better and dominate your days. Or you can have the late night alcohol, have a poor night's sleep, wake up groggy and give a mediocre presentation tomorrow. It's up to you. It's up to you. Now, on your daughter's wedding night, by all means, you're going to share in the celebration. But if you have that amazing important presentation tomorrow, you should probably stay away from the booze. Because what matters more to you? If you say alcohol, then you're not ready to be a high performer. And this should be a wake-up call to why you're struggling in life. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a glass of wine on the weekend or a beer with buddies, but accept the consequences of your decision. And I'm just letting you know what this decision could cost you. So as with everything, test and track your personal response. That's where you figure out where to draw the line. You're an intelligent person, and I know you're going to make the right decision for your right life right now and become that high performer that you can be. All right? All right. So you made it to the end of the show, and clearly you want to learn everything you can about being a super high achiever and high performer in every area of life. And I thank you for doing so. So let's review the big lessons from our two podcasts about nutrition. And if you missed my first one, make sure to go back to episode 20 and look at the number one pillar of high performance. Because now we can break it down into several bullet points about high performance and nutrition. We got about 9 here. So number 1 is eat whole natural foods. Number 2, avoid processed foods from a bag or a box. Number 3, find the meal frequency and diet style that suits you and your schedule. Number 4, drink 2 to 3 liters of water per day. Number 5, limit your caffeine intake to early in the day. Number 6, start drinking before noon. Oh wait, sorry, that was for a different podcast. But seriously, don't drink alcohol within 3 hours of bedtime. Number 7, those are the basics, but most important of all, recognize that you're a unique snowflake. Your body has an individual response to different foods, to alcohol and caffeine. My best diet, my Craig Ballantyne best diet, is not your best diet. You need to find your own. Number 8, start a food journal, use it for 7 days, do a water journal, and do more of what works and less of what doesn't. And number 9, the opportunity for you to dramatically improve your physical and mental performance is right there at your fingertips. Do the work. It'll totally be worth it because nutrition is so simple. It really, really is. And that's what I learned when I spent 7 days at Arnold Schwarzenegger University in 1992, reading all of his muscle magazines and getting a basic education in nutrition. That 1 week of study time has made all the difference for me in my all-day energy levels. And it's clear and simple advice that will do the same for you too. All right, so that wraps up our discussion of high performance nutrition here at Early to Rise Radio. I'd love to know what you think about these nutrition and high performance and exercise podcasts. Do they fit in? Do you want to hear more of them? And do you have any disagreements with my conclusions? Is there anything I left out? And do you feel like calling me names because I took away your wine? That's okay. Let it rip. Let me know what you think. Because more importantly, I want to know how it helped. So cheers to your high performance. All right, please send your feedback on today's show to support@earlyrise.com or to me on social media at instagram.com/realcraigballantyne or on twitter.com/craigballantyne. So thanks for listening to Early to Rise Radio. Please also head over to iTunes and rate today's show and share it with your friends. And don't forget, nutrition is more important than exercise. That's why we spend time on this to make you a high performer. So make these changes, get maximum results. Don't drink too much before bed, and use the right amount of caffeine for your high performance. And if you want more surprising secrets on dominating your days, get a detailed blueprint for your high performance life at freeperfectdaybook.com.